Welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CommunityProgressiveRadio.org. Well, today I'm going to play an interview that Joyce Riley of the Power Hour did with me this past week about, you know, various issues, my run for governor, how I want to smash the two-party system and the empire. It was a very interesting interview, so I wanted to play it today. And Joyce Riley is really a wonderful, supportive person, and she's done so much good with Gulf War Syndrome and other issues. And she hosts a very popular radio show called The Power Hour, and that's at thepowerhour.com if you want to check Joyce out. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with my interview, the interview of me done by The Power Hour's Joyce Riley.
Our guest today, Cindy Sheehan, who joins us from, I think, California. She is an activist. She is an anti-war activist, one of the very few, I think, in this country today, a peace advocate. She is a mother, and she lost her child. She lost her son. And I have to tell you, when he was killed in Iraq, it took her on a crusade that I don't think will ever end. She says she's lost it all, and therefore she wants to do everything she can now to try and support what is the truth. And the story is an amazing story. In fact, Casey Sheehan was awarded the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star V for valor posthumously for his actions in 2004. And she continues to fight for all the young people that are serving in Iraq under fraudulent reasons. Cindy Sheehan, it's so good to have you back joining us again. Thank you so much.
Hi, Joyce. It's always very wonderful to be on your show and to talk to you. And, you know, the empire is mired all over the world. And in Afghanistan, we're trying to stay there for at least another decade. And as we both know, if the U.S. invades a country, it rarely leaves. And so we just have to fight, I guess, on all fronts to really smash this empire for the health of the planet and for the well-being of everybody who lives here.
And you are so right about that. You know, when I ask people, why is it we're in Afghanistan? Do you know that the majority of people cannot tell me? They don't know. We're just at war there because there must be bad guys. You know, that's their answer. And yet we are killing people on a daily basis. There were more people killed in Iraq last month in November than have been killed in it's just incredible what we're doing in the name of democracy and peace. Where are the other anti-war activists? I'd like to know.
It's really sad. It's not sad. It's tragic that the two-party, uniparty is what I call them, a war party, the party of the bankers and Wall Street, you know, people get so trapped in that paradigm of fighting for their team. It's almost like professional wrestling where, you know, there's a good guy and a bad guy, and those switch, the good guy and bad guy always switch, so you don't know who you're supposed to root for. But it's just really, it's tragic because our principles, our own core principles, get lost in that. You know, Barack Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, but he's increased drone bombing. He's increased the empire. He dearly would have loved to keep more troops in Iraq, but the Parliament of Iraq rejected that. Although we have so many mercenaries and we still have troops in Iraq, like I said, we rarely leave. I guess we'll leave when the oil is drained dry. And he's just expanded the empire to almost every corner of this planet. But where are the people opposing it? That's the problem. The empire will do what the empire will do until we all wake up and realize that the two-party system is a scam, and we have to operate out of our own core principles, not the murderous principles of the empire.
And yet, it goes on and on. There is no ceasing to the amount of killing that takes place. You know, people are still dying from the depleted uranium in Iraq and Afghanistan and the
Balkans.
It just goes on. And yet, you know, finally yesterday, there was a gentleman from the Cato Institute that talked in terms of you keep doing all these illegal acts and people are going to want to overthrow the government because the people are going to say, well, if the president doesn't have to adhere to the rules and the laws, then why should the people? I mean, that was a major story today. I was so thrilled to see that story. It's about time we start calling it like it is.
Well, I didn't see a story. I haven't seen that story yet that you're talking about, but, you know, it's absolutely true. It's a lawless empire from the top down, and not only do we see it in the very upper echelons of our government, but the police state is out of control. It is killing innocent people. The cops are killing innocent people without any accountability. And, you know, we have to, like I said, we have to operate out of our own core principles. And I say smash the empire however we can by withdrawing our consent, by creating new paradigms and new institutions that are healthy in our own communities. And this is the only way that we're going to be able to survive. And to us, it's all about our communities and our families and our, you know, cities, whatever, being healthy and surviving. The empire doesn't care about us, so we have to start caring about each other. And that's why I'm running for governor of California.
Create
that.
Yes, now that you're running for governor of California, now you will be in a position to have more of a voice, hopefully, to be able to do this kind of thing. But how do we smash the empire? Where do we start? How do we do it? I mean, I'm solution oriented. Let's get on with it.
Well, you know, there's many things that we can follow. One of the things that we talk about in Cindy Sheehan for governor is talking about a secession movement from the federal government. The federal government is a parasite. It's a drain. It's a drain on our resources. It's violent. The people of the state of California have passed a law saying that medicinal cannabis is legal, but the federal government keeps coming and raiding our dispensaries, raiding our growers. The people of the state should have more say in what happens in their state than the federal government. So, you know, I don't know if California has one of the largest economies and resources in the world. We're bigger than some countries are. If we talk about leaving the federal government, that goes a long way to smashing the empire. And but not just these pie-in-the-sky things, Joyce. We can, in our own communities, we can start growing our own food free of GMOs. If I'm governor of California, we're going to round up the executives of Monsanto, hold them accountable for poisoning our food supply, poisoning, killing our bumblebees, and all of the horrible things that they're doing. We can't get Monsanto out of our food supply, so why don't we start organic gardens? Why don't we reclaim vacant lots and fallow land and start growing our own food and have food growing cooperatives, have local trade, have local currency, have cooperatives and collectives of every thing that we usually have the government has institutional control over. Yeah, you know, these are things that we can start doing today.
And I bet once you're governor of California, there will be no GMOs in California.
Oh,
or there'll be GMO labeling.
They will be out of the state. That's one of the first things that we'll work on in the Cindy Sheehan administration, that's for sure.
What prompted you to run for governor? You did it once before. You ran for senator, correct?
Well, I ran for vice president last year, and in 2008, I ran for Congress against Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And what prompted me is that I think that politics has to be local. And, you know, California is a big state with a big population. So, like I said, it's like running for president of some small country. But to inspire the people of the state to take control of their own lives, to say that, you know, it's possible to have a government that works with the people, not against the people. If I were governor of California, people wouldn't have to come to Sacramento to protest me. They could come to Sacramento to work with me. And I would go to their communities to work with them to inspire this democratic control over aspects of our lives. Things that have so much power over us, we should have the control of that because we're the only ones that know what's good for us. You know, obviously Washington, D.C., and the politicians who are now in Sacramento or your local state government, they don't care about you. They don't make decisions that are healthy for you and your community. And so that's what I'm trying to inspire, is taking local control with the help of your central government.
And boy, is that needed. Boy, is that needed. Just the idea that it can be done. You'll have to look at that article by William Cannon today. That was his testimony before Congress yesterday regarding the abominable health care program. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did an incredible job by saying if the president doesn't adhere to the laws, then the people don't have to. And if the people don't have to, then there's going to be an overthrow of this government. So I hate to hear those strong terms, but then I almost relish it, because it's about time. It's about time we be calling it what it is, because what this man has done under the guise of being a president, which we know he's not the force behind the office. We know that.
Right.
And he's
exactly.
A puppet. He's a puppet, right, carrying out all the things he's supposed to do. But, you know, you've come up with some of the toughest adversaries. You have faced down the IRS, didn't you?
I did. And it's possible. And but if it was millions of us doing it instead of just me, you know, then our power would be multiplied.
Things are still very unsteady on Wall Street. Nobody knows what's going on. And it's sort of like it's by design. You know, why is all of this? Oh, I'm sorry. The stock market is now up in the green. But it's happening at a time when there's so much conflict in this country. There's so much discussion over the health care program, which is nothing more than, it's not a health care program. It's a drug program that is going to be given to you at probably 2 to 3 times the cost that it would normally be provided to you. And yet we have no answers. And we need people. We need people like Cindy Sheehan who will come to bat for us and stay the course. And I really believe, Cindy, of all people, that you would stay this course for us.
Absolutely. You know, if I haven't been bought and paid for or sold out by now, I don't think that that's going to happen. And about the health care scam, to me, it just is incredible that this is what I'm talking about. Many people who have long advocated for Medicare for all or whatever are circling the wagons around this horrible health care plan because it's a Democrat that foisted it on us, but people want to forget that this was a Republican plan that was promoted when Hillary Clinton was trying to reform health care back when her husband was president. So it's just this my team versus your team mentality when we're the ones that are being screwed by this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have local control over the institutions that have power over us, or when we take the power into our own hands, things like this change. I've been all over this country. I just rode my bike across the United States this year. And there are communities who are getting together, healthcare providers from everything from holistic healthcare to traditional doctors who are making their own cooperatives to help the community. And there's a lot of pushback by, you know, the so-called authorities against this because it's something healthy and it's something that would help the people. And it takes profit out of big pharma and HMOs. So, and I don't have health insurance still. And so, of course, I'm searching all of these alternative ways to stay healthy, and I'm far healthier for it being outside of that system. So there's so many revolutionary things we can do, Joyce, that are non-violent. And when I talk about revolution, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about non-violently wrestling power away from these profiteers. And the health of Wall Street, the so-called health of Wall Street, has nothing to do with the way we are struggling here on Main Street. And if we struggle together, the struggle it will be much easier. The burden will be much lighter if we work together. It's harder to take control over our lives into our own hands. But it's easier to go to the ballot box and vote for a Democrat or Republican and just forget about that control. Well, I think it was Howard Zinn said, you better pay attention to politics because they certainly are paying attention to you. It's easier to do that and just, like, give up your power. But, you know, look how it's harming us. It's just much healthier to work together for positive change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, where are the anti-war people? It seems that because we have a president that is a Democrat, there is no need for an anti-war group now, at least as much as there used to be. Let's go back to your IRS dealings, because I know that was quite an experience, and I can't imagine what that must have been like to go through that. But to the listeners that weren't listening at that time, tell them what happened in that experience.
Well, Joyce, as you said, I lost my son, and so there's nothing else. I lost my son, and every day I'm surviving that. It's not like something that just happened on April 4th, 2004, and was over and done with. You know, every day I have to live my life basically with part of my heart amputated. And so there's not very much more that I fear. But when Casey was killed, I instantly became ashamed of ever having financially supported this government. So I became a war tax resister.
You know, I got an email from one of our listeners who said that I think Cindy is one of the least people that would be likely to sell out, one of the people least likely to sell out. If she sold out, I'm done with the human race. So there you got the vote of our listeners there with you, Cindy. Now, the story of you with the IRS is one
okay.
that is...
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, it's just one that kind of really solidifies who and what you are, because you, if you stood up to the powers that be and for why you did that and how you did that, you know, obviously, I mean, people need to hear this story.
And so after my son was killed, I vowed I would never fund the war machine again with my own money. And so not only did I vow that to myself, I started talking about it and writing about it, and that was in 2004. And last year, the IRS finally caught up with me. You know, people think there's some big, scary agency that has, you know, this all omniscient power to, and they do. They can. They have ruined people's lives for sure. But finally they caught up with me, and I have a website. People can get a hold of me so easy, but the IRS finally found me. They took me to court. I got this very sympathetic magistrate in federal court, and my lawyer poured his heart out why I don't pay taxes. He's an activist attorney. He's not a tax attorney, but he has got all the right politics and the right heart. And the magistrate looked at me and he said, it seems to me a very civilized response to something so uncivilized. And Joyce, that happened to me, my son being killed. Joyce, being a tax refuser, a tax resister, is a time-honored way to nonviolently express your beliefs, live your values, and, you know, oppose what your government or whatever, you know, using your dollar as a protest, whether it's through boycotts or supporting people who produce food that is organic or and non-GMO, or to withdraw your money from people that, you know, you don't agree with the way they do business. And so that's a very honorable, non-violent way to protest. And so I'm withdrawing my hard-earned money from the federal government because I don't agree with anything that it does, much less it's wars for empire. And when you support through your dollar the things that you use through fees, and everything you buy has taxes attached to it. So if people say, oh, Cindy, you know, you don't, you're a drain on society. But my entire life is trying to make this world a better place, make it a place where I would be glad to support it, where I would be honored to support it. And so, and like I said, if millions of people joined me, that would change policy. What I do is just a symbolic protest, even though I have a real chance of being put in prison for that, but that's something that I've come to terms with. But if millions of us did it, we could really change the way our country does its war business by saying we don't agree with the wars, we don't support murder, you know, in our values, so why should we support it with our money?
Have you noticed, I mean, you ask all the right questions, and there is no other answer than the fact that you're right. I mean, you are simply right about this. If anybody was to address this, I don't care who they are, they'd have to agree with you on your stand and your position. Have you found that other people have started to go along with you and agree with you? When you talk to them personally, you know, behind the scenes, do you find other people that are doing the same thing you're doing or not?
Well, yes, and if your listeners want more information about becoming a war tax resister, they can certainly email me. My easiest email is cindy@cindy2014.org, or they can go to the National War Tax Resisters Coordinating Committee, who have provided invaluable support to me in my legal struggle against the IRS. And the punchline about my struggle with the IRS is not too long after my court hearing and after they took some money from my account, just, you know, very little, because I have very little money, a couple $100s, I got a notice from them saying that they were withdrawing the subpoena. So it's not like my battle with them is over, but I think this, I think that we were victorious. I think the voice of peace was victorious. And I think, Joyce, when we want to talk to people about these things that we care about, if I talk to people one-on-one and I talk to them about our core values, they're very similar. When we start to get into another level about politics is when people start to disagree and to start circling the wagons around, you know, their team. And so I think if we can reach people like this, when I was riding my bike across the country, we reached people of every spectrum, politically, economically, whatever, you know, kind of thing that the 1% tells us must divide us. We reached these people and found more in common than separate us until we get into the realm of the Democrat-Republican paradigm. And that's what we have to smash. If we
Absolutely.
Smash that, then I see so much hope for our country and for this planet if we can break through that.
You know, I'd like for you to send that information on being a war tax resistor to Catherine, because we'd like to save you about 500 emails today. If you would send that to Catherine,
okay.
Then we'll put it in the email blast, because I don't want to do that to you. You've got other things to do right now, but we'll put it in the email blast, that information on being a war tax resistor. I'm sure a lot of people would like to know more information about it, how, why, who, what, where, when, and why, information on that, if you don't mind. You know, I disagree with you on one thing. I don't think that they are circling the wagons. I think they're circling the drain when they have these issues. You know, literally circling the drain, because there is no answer. There's no good answer when it comes to, you know, my guy versus your guy getting
in
the White House.
Absolutely. I agree. It's a cesspool.
Yes. Yes.
And
absolutely.
And I used to spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C., trying to reach our so-called elected officials, but you know, that's just like banging your head against a brick wall. But now, when I go to Washington D.C., or I like to call it washed-up D.C., I try to stay there as little as possible, because it really is so poisonous and toxic. The atmosphere there just is like a drain. It's nothing that is positive or life affirming. It's just draining. It's just a horrible place to be.
It really is. I mean, I feel dirty. When I'm in D.C.,
exactly.
I feel dirty, and it's kind of like being at a Walmart. I feel dirty. I want to get out of there. I don't like it. You know, I have to use it when I have to use it, but I don't like it. And there's a certain amount of, frequencies that have been set up in Washington, D.C. that certainly anybody who has a soul can feel. Now, let's talk about your gubernatorial campaign, because I want to know what we can do to support you, and I think people by now are going to want to find a way to support you also.
Well, there's so many things that we need to do. It's so hard to... there's so many obstacles that are put in front of people who are outside of the dominant Democrat-Republican political scam. That's all it is. It's just a scam. And so we have to get 10,000 signatures just to get me on the ballot. In California, we have this terrible, undemocratic law called Proposition 14, which is the top two primary. So in June, in the primary, it's an open primary. And the top two vote-getters move on to the general election in November. And why is this undemocratic? Because it's usually the people that have the most money that get into the top two. So it could be two Democrats, two Republicans, or a Democrat and a Republican. Since top two primary pass, it's never been an independent or a third party candidate that's gone on to the November election. However, when I ran against Pelosi, I came in second. I was an independent
Wow.
who came in second. So it's possible with this crop. Jerry Brown is our incumbent. Jerry Brown is a Democrat that's going to be running on, you know, the Democratic ticket in June. And there's several Republicans who have announced. Now, it's possible that the Republicans will split the Republican vote so much that I will get into the top two. You know, California, I have a lot of support here. And so if I could go into the November elections against Jerry Brown, Joyce, that's the revolution. That's the place where I will have a platform to talk about these issues, to tell people that it's really cruddy the way things are now, but they don't always have to be that way. That if we work together, we can make a state that where people will have a pathway, people will have a light to follow that will be inspirational, where
Yes.
we can do this across the 50 states. And that's the only way we're going to smash the empire. If we have a fire of purification across the United States that reaches Washington, D.C., and that's when the empire is going to be smashed. We can do this community by community, state by state, from the bottom up. That's the only way that it's going to change things. So people can go to Cindy, see what's my website, cindy2014.org. If you're in California, you can help us collect signatures. You can be a county coordinator to help us collect signatures because it's a county-by-county thing. You certainly donate. Jerry Brown is having fundraisers where he raises $2 million at each fundraiser, and we don't want that kind of fundraising. We'd rather have 2 million people give us a dollar. And that would be like the most amazing. That would be like the most amazing thing. If we had that kind of money, we could really run. I just hate the fact that political campaigns are based on money and not based on integrity. You know, if they were based on integrity, I would be in Congress right now representing San Francisco instead of Nancy Pelosi. And that's just really a sad thing. And so if you're not in California, you can help us make phone calls into California. Everybody, even if you don't live in California, you know people here. You know, immediately email your friends and relatives that live in California and send them to our website. Have them sign up to get email updates from Cindy Sheehan for governor. There's just so many things that we can do, and it's going to take all of us. The 99% versus the 1%, people have to understand that the 1% should be afraid of us. We shouldn't be afraid of them.
I like it. So Cindy2014.org, Cindy2014.org. Find a way, if you're in California especially, to get involved with the campaign and then financially to help support Cindy. And you're right. You know, $1 from 2 million donors would be so much more impressive and so much more important. And I can only tell you how much I appreciate you doing this. I would think that running for governor running for any office really, is got to be, oh man, I can't, it's got to be excruciating. I can't even imagine having to do that. What is it like when you come under that public scrutiny day after day after day?
Running for office is, I just wrote a new book called I Left My Marbles in San Francisco, The Scandal of Federal Electoral Politics. And, you know, if people want information on that, they can go to my other website, CindySheehanSoapbox.com, where I have my podcast and my blogs, and, you know, it's my activist website. But running for office is, like, one of the most humiliating things that you can do. And so you have to be a really strong person to run for office. When I ran for office in San Francisco, I mean, those people are, like, what we like to call the limousine liberals, who are liberal only to the point of how it does it affect their pocketbook. And if it affects their pocketbook at all, they become the most conservative jerks in the world. And so, but having my life come under scrutiny, and I think that's one of the reasons that the corporate media, the mainstream media, stopped covering me, because they realized that they couldn't, I don't have any skeletons in my closet. You know, for my entire life, I was a law-abiding mother of four. Everybody has something in their life. They've made a bad choice or whatever. But there's, like, absolutely nothing in my life. And people say, oh, well, I smoked pot. Show me somebody who went to high school in the 70s who didn't. And who cares anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's why they had to just ignore me, because there wasn't anything that they could dig up to demonize me about. And so it's just, like I said, I survived burying my son. So there's nothing that they can throw at me that's going to stop me at this point. And I must be touching a nerve, because my blog, Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, has now been overwhelmed by death threats. And I actually did
really?
Yes, I actually did something that I never thought I would do. I contacted the FBI because it was getting to a point where, and you know, so what? I figured that there's something that is worse than death, and that's burying a child. And so I'm not afraid of that, but you know, I'm afraid for the people that surround me, not for myself. And so and guess what? The FBI hasn't even responded to me about those death threats.
Man. Wow. Cindy, you know, it seems to me we're at loggerheads right now. We're at the point sort of where the people were that broke away from England. If we do not break away from this empire right now, then we will forever be trapped in that. There'll be more UN taxes, more UN control, more UN this, more NSA control, control vis-a-vis the abominable health care program. I mean, we've got to make a decision, and we've got to stand by it and do something, because if not, this tangled web is only going to close up on us.
Well, I think our job, Joyce, as we were talking over the break, is to break through the blockade of the information, because I always look at what Harriet Tubman said. She said, I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they only knew they were slaves.
Oh,
and so we are,
oh.
You know, that's why I want to talk to my fellow Californians, because we are slaves. You know, we might not be in literal chains, but we are in figurative chains to this empire. And we have to break those chains. And the only way we can break them is to convince people that we are slaves to this system. And, you know, people want to go about their lives, and they want to think that they're struggling because maybe they're bad people or they're lazy, because that's what the system tells us. But it's about the system, and it's about smashing that system. So I appreciate your show, and I appreciate other people who are working to help us smash that system.
Well, I cannot thank you enough, because your life is a testimony to what you believe, and very few people can I say that about. So we want to do what we can to support you. I'd like to have you back on just for your book, to talk about, well, your book and other things, but to talk about your book and about what's going on in the world of election fraud, if you don't mind. That would be a great topic to have you speak on.
Oh, anytime. Absolutely.
All right, and I want to thank you very much for joining us today, and if there's anything we can do, let us know. Stay strong and stay focused, and we'll stay behind you, girl.
Okay, awesome, Joyce. It's, like I said, it's always great talking to you.
Thank you. You
All
have
right.
a blessed day.
Okay,
you have
too.
A blessed
Bye.
Day. I don't know how many people, men or women, could do what she did. Go through the incredible death of her son, Casey, and then have to come to the realization and to grips with the idea that I funded what caused his death. She funded that. Now, if that isn't a strong argument against being a resistor, then I don't know what is. But she has walked the walk. She stood the test of time. She is not afraid to say what she believes. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need out there. Even if she doesn't prevail, we need to get her name amongst as many people as possible. She's in a niche there in California, but we got to get her out of that niche. And I challenge all the other talk show hosts to get her on their program.
That's our show for today. I hope you go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com, and if you enjoy Cindy Sheehan Soapbox, support us financially. And we do have a way that you can donate and have a tax deduction for your income taxes if that's something that you do. We know I don't pay my taxes. I don't agree with what they go for. But if you can support worthy causes and get a tax deduction, then I'm all for that. Again, that's CindySheehanSoapbox.com. As always, I'd like to thank Don DeBar, my engineer, and our connection with CPR Metro. And I'd like to thank Joyce Riley for giving me an opportunity to be on her show this week. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.